Dial 314-569-1010 and you'll get
10 quotes in 10 minutes is all you need. Call 314-569-1010 or visit MidwestInsurance.com.
Are you looking for a new or used forklift? Call AD Lift Truck at 314-389-1700 for all makes and models. For more, go to adlifttruck.com.
I'm Larry Connors. You know, for almost 40 years, I've been in St. Louis building credibility and trust. Of course, no one just gives you trust. You have to earn it every day. That's what John Beal's family has done for 65 years. A roofing company doesn't stay around long unless it does the customers right. So I'm proud to represent the John Beal family. And when you need help with your roof, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I thought Frank was finally done with his assignment when he came in to do the show last Friday, but management put him back on assignment again.
Fresh
today.
On another yeah. one. Yeah.
Well, you were on assignment last week.
That's right.
That was weird.
Was that the story?
Yes.
Wow.
What do you have to report?
Assignments suck. Everybody, we've all known that since elementary school.
Yes.
Not another assignment. Welcome to the show. I am Paul Harris. That's Dan. That's Ian. We're happy to have you here. Coming up on the show in about 15 minutes or so, we're going to have a guy who has written the complete uncensored history of Saturday Night Live. He actually came out with the book a dozen years ago, and now he's gone back and interviewed all the people who've been on the show in the last 12 years and added that. And the book is it's humongous. It's an oral history of the show. His name's Jim Miller, and he'll be on with us in about 15 minutes. I have a lot of stuff to talk to him about SNL. Before we get to that, have you had the argument in your house yet about whether it's time to turn on the heat?
No,
not yet.
Not yet.
Before I left home to come to the station today, I said to my wife, we're turning on the heat tonight. Because she likes the house really cold. And I don't want it really hot, but I also don't want to have to wear layers in my own house.
Yeah.
You know, it was bad enough having to find the sweaters yesterday for this weather and wear them. But I don't want to have to wear a sweater or a sweatshirt inside my own house.
I'm in denial. I still haven't gotten any of the long sleeve stuff.
I haven't moved that either. I had to go down the hall and find the long sleeve stuff and the sweaters today.
What are we going down into the 40s tonight?
I think so.
Yeah, that's heat. You should turn the heat on in the 40s.
That's what I told her.
Yes.
And, of course, well, you know, it means that we'll get that first whiff of the furnace kicking on and burning out the dust that's been sitting in there for 6 months. Ah, that's carcinogenic.
All the dead spiders and spider webs.
All of that stuff that we then inhale. Oh, honey, it's so great. So I'm hoping maybe she turns it on and inhales all of it before I get home. But I know that's not going to happen. I guess I have to say a few things about the Ray Rice story. This is another case of one of these stories that I thought by Friday, everything will be said about this and there won't be anything more to say. But I watched the game last night between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, which the Ravens won. They crushed them. And it's a little bit weird for me because I'm a lifelong NFL fan. And when there's any professional football game on, I want to watch it. But the image of the NFL has become so tarnished over the last several years. This concussions thing is still going on. I think it's reducing the amount of kids who are being allowed to play football by their parents, because you can see what's happening to the professionals and even the college players who are getting hurt out on the field with the helmet-to-helmet collisions or other things. And so the NFL has definitely had an image problem in that regard. And then the domestic violence part of this, well, we all know that there have been plenty of players who have been charged with either domestic violence or other crimes who have continued to be part of the NFL culture. And that's obviously a problem. But I still don't understand why people were wearing Ray Rice jerseys at the stadium last night. Did you see this at all during the game last night?
I did not watch the game at all. And I know that there were a bunch of people burning Ray Rice jerseys. And then one of those restaurants there in Baltimore said, trade in your Ray Rice jersey or whatever for a free pizza and stuff.
Well, the Ravens themselves and the Ravens store were saying, bring in your Ray Rice jersey. We'll trade it in for any other player you want.
Yeah.
And somebody tweeted earlier this week, where do I go to trade in my Roger Goodell jersey? because people don't like him now.
Yeah, Goodell doesn't look very good at this point.
No. As Frank said on the show yesterday, the guy's obviously a liar about what the NFL knew and when it knew it. And I guarantee you we're going to get more reports about this. And that tape was definitely inside the building at the NFL. And are you telling me that the richest sports league in the world can't afford something that TMZ can?
Yeah.
Paying somebody at a casino in Atlantic City to get a copy of that tape. That's just BS that they couldn't do that. But I don't understand these people, and particularly the women who were wearing the Ray Rice jersey. So I went online today to find if any reporters had interviewed some of these people in the stands, and they did. USA Today spoke to several women, one by the name of Robin Manahan, who herself is a survivor of domestic violence. Now, try to filter this through your skull. The woman was beaten up, got away from that guy. Hopefully that guy did some jail time over that. And now she has four Ray Rice jerseys and wore one of them last night. The other three are framed on her wall at home. And she said to USA Today, quote, I absolutely 100% support him.
What?
Absolutely 100%. Really? That image hasn't been dinged even a little bit for you?
Wow. I wonder if she's ever gone to counseling.
She said, I'm supporting him all the way around. I think he's an awesome guy, an upstanding guy, an awesome football player. Well, that's the image he has for you. But what about the video? Have you seen the video? LaTanya Jones was tailgating with a bunch of friends wearing Rice's number 27. Quote, I don't agree with how they went from a two-game suspension to ending this man's career. This is someone's livelihood. He has a family. I don't condone fighting because I don't think anybody should punch anybody, but they should not have took that man's job away. Nice grammar.
Hmm.
She says we shouldn't be involved in their personal life. It's not right. And then there are guys who were wearing it last night. One guy told Fox Sports 1, quote, I'm making a statement. I don't believe in domestic violence, but I will say any woman who can hit a man shouldn't have to sit there and take the abuse. Now, what would you say is the weight ratio from Ray Rice to Janae Palmer Rice? Is it 2-1?
Quite a bit.
He weighs at least twice as much as she does?
I would think.
Yes, and strength-wise,
yeah,
maybe 3 or 4 times stronger.
Yes, and the man is trained to be a part of the most physical game we have. It's not quite the same when she hits him as when he hits her. We don't have any stories of Ray Rice being knocked out in an elevator by Janae. Another guy said, I'm not supporting what he did. But there are players who did worse than he did, and they're still playing. I feel what he got kicked out for wasn't right. Well, I'll agree with you that there are guys out there, and in the Hall of Fame, who've done really bad stuff. That doesn't separate from the fact that you're wearing a Ray Rice jersey. One guy said, and this is, this is another woman, 23-year-old Raquel Bailey, quote, "There's two sides to every story. I saw the video, and that's their personal business. It shouldn't have affected his career. I don't agree with domestic violence, but she's still with him, so obviously it wasn't that big a deal. Everyone should just drop it." It's a crime. This is assault and battery. Not personal. And by the way, it's not personal if you're doing it in the elevator of a casino in Atlantic City, where there are surveillance cameras. And by the way, everyone who complains about, it's a surveillance society, there are cameras everywhere. Well, in this case, good.
Right.
It's a good thing there was a camera there. You know, I as a dad, I just think about my daughter getting involved with a guy, and he's knocking her around. First of all, I hope if he does it in a place where there's a camera so that we have video evidence like we do of Ray Rice, mm-hmm. and we can prosecute that son of a bitch and throw him in jail.
Yes.
But if there aren't cameras, the crime is still going on, and it's not, it's their personal life. That's between the two of them. And the fact that she's, quote, okay with it, that's either battered wife syndrome or addiction to money. That's part of it, too. Maybe she sees tens of millions of dollars and says, I get knocked around every once in a while. That does not excuse the act in any way. Now, James Brown, I thought, did a great thing last night on the pregame show on CBS. We have the audio for you. I worked with JB about 20-plus years ago, and he's always been just a solid, middle-of-the-road kind of guy. And sometimes he goes into analysis mode and really just hits the bullseye. Listen.
I challenge the NFL community and all men to seriously confront the problem of domestic violence, especially coming on the heels of the murder-suicide of Kansas City Chiefs football player Jovan Belcher and his girlfriend Cassandra Perkins. Yet, here we are again, dealing with the same issue of violence against women. Now, let's be clear. This problem is bigger than football. There has been, appropriately so, intense and widespread outrage following the release of the video showing what happened inside the elevator at the casino. But wouldn't it be productive if this collective outrage, as my colleagues have said, could be channeled to truly hear and address the long-suffering cries for help by so many women? And as they said, do something about it, like an ongoing comprehensive education of men about what healthy, respectful manhood is all about. And it starts with how we view women. Our language is important. For instance, when a guy says, you throw the ball like a girl, or you're a little sissy, it reflects an attitude that devalues women. And attitudes will eventually manifest in some fashion. Women have been at the forefront in the domestic violence awareness and prevention arena. And whether Janae Rice considers herself a victim or not, millions of women in this country are. Consider this. According to domestic violence experts, more than 3 women per day lose their lives at the hands of their partners. That means that since the night of February 15th in Atlantic City, more than 600 women have died. So this is yet another call to men to stand up and take responsibility for their thoughts, their words, their deeds, and as Dion says, to give help or to get help, because our silence is deafening and deadly. We'll be back right after this.
I thought that was just right on the money. It's not their personal business. It's an epidemic. And if we just brush it aside, just leave them alone. You know, they're married. She married him. He doesn't mind, you know, that sort of stuff. Then you're an enabler when you say stuff like that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Jim Miller, who is the co-author of this definitive book about Saturday Night Live, which has just been revised and updated and re-released. And we'll talk about the current state of the show, some classic stuff from the show, and more. And then later on, we'll have Knuckleheads in the News and the Harris Challenge, and Bill Clevelin and Mike Evans and Colin will be here to talk movies and showbiz as well. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
It's blues. It's jazz. It's a foot-stomping, booty-shaking, dancing-in-the-streets party with live jazz and blues on two stages, and it's free. On Saturday, September 20th, the Big 550 kicks off fall in St. Louis with the Old Webster Groves Jazz and Blues Festival. For more information about the Old Webster Jazz and Blues Festival, go to KTRS.com.
Meep, meep.
Hey, let's get a check on traffic. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan. Looks like we've got an incident on westbound 370 just after, right around the mills. Traffic is backed up now to Highway 270. Westbound 70 is slowing now from, looks like, the Blanchette Bridge out through Cave Springs. Little spot between Highway K and Bryan Road. We're also slow on southbound 270 from Highway 40 down through Doherty Ferry. Westbound 40, just starting to get a little volume now between Hampton and McCausland, but it looks like baseball traffic already making its way in from 141 through 270 and from 170 to Big Bend. And this traffic report is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. America's Best offers two pairs of single-vision glasses for $69.95 with a free eye exam. Call 1-800-TWO-PAIR. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
You know, until recently, I had no idea of the difference it makes when you deal directly with the lending institution owner, as opposed to various different employees in a large lending conglomerate. Of course, I'm talking about Stewart's American Mortgage Corp. In addition to being the proud owner, Stewart prides himself on taking care of each loan from start to finish. He's been in the mortgage business for over 25 years and knows how to keep that constant recalling and rehashing at a very minimum. He knows your specific information, and when it comes time to get finalization, Stewart is there to explain your specific circumstances, getting you the lowest possible interest rate. But you must act now, as interest rates are at historic lows. Yes, the best possible rates in the shortest possible time at the lowest possible cost. Don't be confused. There's only one, Stewart's American Mortgage. On the internet, it's stewartsamc.com or call 314-324-4440. That's 324-4440.
Want your home to make a statement? Update your home with lighting from Metro Lighting. Their certified lighting specialists are trained to work with you, your builder, or your designer, so you can discover the perfect lighting for your space. For over 40 years, Metro Lighting has made a commitment of service to their customers and is proud to be a locally owned and operated part of the St. Louis community. And right now, save on LED bulbs with Metro Lighting and Amaranth's Act on Energy program. Visit MetroLightingCenters.com for the location nearest you.
A touch of oil around the gasket, a little in the filter. The small details got you through the last 100,000 miles, and they'll get you through the next 100, too. Here's another detail you'll appreciate from Advance Auto Parts. Get 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life High Mileage Motor Oil and a Purolator Classic Oil Filter for just $24.99. Plus, get a $7 Advance gift card by mail. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back to the garage.
Mail-in rebate, void where prohibited. See store for details.
Without trees, hide and seek would just be seek. Trees are a natural playground with built-in shade. Visit treeswork.org for more on how trees work for kids. Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Conservation.
St. Louis Closet Company can organize your master closets, kids' closets, pantries, home offices, laundry rooms, entertainment centers, even Murphy beds. 314-781-9000, St. Louis Closet Company. Call for a free in-home estimate.
Subway is celebrating all September long. The Italian BMT is now a famous $5 foot long, and the chicken teriyaki is the $3.06 select. Subway, eat fresh.
Trying to sell a home? Need help buying? You need experience and results. Hi, this is Terry Hall, and these are some of the results of recent clients I helped. I helped an investor get a home 30% below list price. I helped a lady sell a home $15,000 over list price in 5 hours. I just helped a young buyer close on a deal where there were 6 other people bidding on the home. You trying to sell? You trying to buy a home? Call me, Terry Hall, 314-220-0524. 314-220-0524.
You know, if I let Don Pardo go through the whole cast, we won't have any time for the actual interview. That was the introduction to Saturday Night Live throughout last season. And the cast just goes on and on and on and on and on. Of course, this year you won't hear the voice of Don Pardo because he died just a couple of weeks ago. And we gave him a nice tribute on the show here. He's been one of the few constants through almost all the years of Saturday Night Live, which has an unbelievable history, a history that is told in a book called Live from New York, The Complete Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live, as told by its stars, writers, and guests. Now, the original version of this book came out over 12 years ago, written by James Andrew Miller and Tom Shales. And now, a dozen years later, James Andrew Miller has gone back and said, well, let's update this thing, and gone back and found the people who've been on the show since the book came out. And so they now have this new, revised, updated edition. And he's here to talk about it now. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the Big 550.
Thanks for having me.
Well, listening to that, first of all, let's talk about Don Pardo. As I say, he's one of the few constants through the show, even in through some of the non-Lorne Michaels years. He was there, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, it's an amazing story the past couple of years, because it turned out that, you know, he was going to the show all the time in New York. But then when he moved from New York to Arizona, he still commuted once a week, often even when he had to use a wheelchair to get through terminals because he was so devoted to the show. And then finally, his health was such that he couldn't go to the show. And believe it or not, they had a recording engineer who went into his room at the nursing home in Arizona once a week for him to record the opening. So that's a whole new level of dedication as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just thinking of Don Pardo's neighbor in the nursing home. Here, you know, here's the guy who normally just talks to you in his regular voice. I wonder if the Don Pardo voice was the regular voice, or all of a sudden, it's Saturday Night Live!
Did they have to soundproof his room?
They may have thought he was talking to himself.
Well, this is going to be the 40th season of the show, which kicks off on September 27th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Chris Pratt's going to be the host. Ariana Grande will be the musical guest. And then they're going to do Sarah Silverman and Maroon 5 the week after that. And as I said, you've gone back and interviewed the people who have appeared on the show and the production people in the last 12 years. In talking to them, what did you find that was different in these 12 years compared to the previous 27 seasons?
I guess there's two headlines here. First was kind of like a technological frontier that was crossed with Saturday Night Live, and that was mostly through the digital shorts. Saturday Night Live throughout its history has always had short films and things like that, but the truth is that what Andy Samberg did with digital shorts and with Akiva Schaffer and Jorma Taccone, that just crossed a whole new frontier, and it was perfect timing, because just as YouTube was taking off and just as we were able to like start to figure out video feeds on our computer and have things go viral, Saturday Night Live started supplying us with these shorts, and so that was a big new component of it. The second thing, which was really interesting for me, was the change in the culture at Saturday Night Live. I mean, let's face it, the first, you know, 30 years or so of Saturday Night Live, there was, you know, a healthy dose of sex, drugs, and rock and roll all around. And it turns out that this new crop of people, they're kind of like a little different. Tina Fey told me, she said, Jim, you know, we're more concerned with making our appointments with our personal trainers. You know, other people talked about the fact that they were vegans. You know, some of the cast members said, thank God I wasn't on the show back then. I don't think I could have done it. So there was a whole new thing there. You know, instead of like that after party starting at 3 a.m., everybody was home and fast asleep. The whole culture of the place changed.
Not quite Lorraine Newman snorting coke off of Dan Aykroyd's butt anymore, is it?
Yeah, I think those days were gone.
That's amazing. Now, Lorne Michaels is one of the other constants. He's been there for 35 now of the 40 seasons. And considering he's now producing The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and Late Night with Seth Meyers, would he have to be called the King of Late Night?
Yeah, I mean, Sunday night is the only night of the week without a Lorne Michaels show following local news. So he's definitely the king of late night. He, you know, he made sure that Jimmy was in New York for that show, and he runs all three shows. I will say this, though, that Saturday Night Live is first amongst equals. He has other people producing, you know, doing a lot of the producing work on those other two shows, and Saturday Night Live remains his first love.
So how involved is he, considering he has all of this stuff and his Broadway Broadway Video Empire has expanded so much. Is he still there listening to the pitches for sketches and telling people, you know, let's do this, let's not do that? Is he working on the show all week long?
Absolutely. Lorne is still very committed and very involved with Saturday Night Live. In fact, you know, I think it's fair to say that he makes, you know, he still makes as many decisions now as he used to make. The other things that go on in his life, I mean, since he started Broadway Video in 1979, he's done over 20 movies, done over 20 TV shows. In fact, he was producing a movie this summer with Jason Sudeikis. But, you know, again, he really leaves a lot of that stuff to other people and gets involved only when he needs to, because the bulk of his time is spent at Saturday Night Live. And the most important part of the week, for those who don't really realize how Saturday Night Live operates, at 8 o'clock every Saturday night, they have a dress rehearsal, which has many more sketches in it that can possibly air during the live show. And what they do is they go through all those sketches, and then everybody goes up to Lauren's office, and you talk about what sketches work and what sketches need to be cut, and most importantly, the order of the show. And the final say at that meeting is Lauren's, and that's always been the case, and it still remains the case to this day.
I'm curious why Conan O'Brien, who was given the late night show once David Letterman left it to go to CBS back in 1992-93, and Lauren plucked this kid, Conan O'Brien, who had been a writer on The Simpsons and had been a writer on Saturday Night Live, why, when Conan finally got his own version of The Tonight Show, albeit short-lived, why was Lauren not involved in that, considering how much Conan owed this guy for his TV career?
Yeah, now that's a really smart, savvy question, I have to tell you, because a lot of people have asked that, and the answer is depending on who you talk to. Because, you know, some in Conan's camp will say, well, we went out to L.A. because that's where Johnny had done the show, and we really, and Jay had done the show, and we really wanted to, you know, remain in the kind of historic context of that show. And so if we were in L.A., Lauren couldn't be involved. Other people will tell you that Conan felt like he needed to grow up and get away from Lauren and do it on his own. But the truth is that, as Jeff Zucker says in the book, who was the former CEO of NBC, the Conan experience would have been fundamentally different if Lauren had remained involved. That's not to say that he would have survived, but I think that a lot of the drama that went on with Conan on the show probably would have been diminished.
Interesting. We had some news about Saturday Night Live today in that they have brought on a new cast member, Michael Che, who for the last 6 months has been on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He has been hired by Lorne Michaels and the SNL people to be the new co-anchor of Weekend Update. And Cecily Strong, who had been in that chair, is going to go back to just working in the ensemble and doing sketch work. And Colin Jost is his name, who's the head writer of the show.
Right.
He and Michael Che will now do this show to be the first African-American to be in one of those anchor chairs. What do you think of that move?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, I think that Cicely is going to be a better cast member than she was an anchor.
Yeah, she was not very strong in that.
It was never the right fit. And to her credit, though, I think she does do a good job in the sketches. So that was great. I think, you know, this is the first time in the history of Saturday Night Live where you're going to have two men being the anchor. We had two women with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, but we've yet to have two men. I think that one of the things that it becomes obvious is that Colin wasn't ready to do it by himself. And it'll be interesting to see. Now, Michael Che had been doing writing at Saturday Night Live, even though he was doing stuff on The Daily Show.
Oh.
And for your listeners who don't know, may not be familiar with Michael, they should go online to see. He did a fabulous report on Daily Show about Ferguson,
yeah,
where he was trying to find a safe place to report from.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Ended up in space.
Yeah, but he's a very sharp guy, and we'll see. You know, the problem with Weekend Update is when you do it with two people, you all of a sudden have to really account for chemistry. And, you know, there wasn't much chemistry between Seth and Cicely. There wasn't much chemistry between Colin and Cicely. And so we'll see if these two guys have chemistry.
I haven't thought that Weekend Update was all that funny since Tina and Amy did it. Well, no, I take that back. Since Jimmy Fallon and Amy Poehler did it. What, was Jimmy, that a combination?
Jimmy and Tina.
Oh, no. Yeah, Jimmy and Tina. And then Jimmy left and Amy took over. So, yeah, since Tina and Amy did it together, I haven't thought the show, that bit on the show was that strong. And I also think that, you know, when they first started doing it, when Chevy Chase was the first Weekend Update anchorman in 1975, there wasn't anybody doing those kind of jokes, topical jokes, except for Johnny Carson in his monologue. Now you've got the whole late night landscape, plus Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, who hit every hot button of every hot issue there is. And by the time Saturday night comes around, we've heard the good jokes about these things. What do
Wait,
you think?
You just stole my answer.
Oh.
Well, goodbye. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I think that's true. I think that, you know, part of what happened early on, even through the 90s, I mean, Norm MacDonald was wicked. Some people didn't get him, but he could be, use the language as a sword when he was anchor on Weekend Update. And I do think Tina and Amy were fantastic. But Saturday Night Live has a problem with Weekend Update because, as you say, there is so much competition out there. And also because, you know, the truth is our news cycle now, because we're getting stuff on our phones all the time and everything else, you very few things wait for Saturday night. So as a result, the bar is much higher. And I think they've had a difficult time with it recently.
Yeah, sometimes I get more good jokes about topical news from Twitter during the week than I do from Colin Jost sitting at that desk on Saturday night.
Well, if you notice that, it's been pushed further into the show. So it used to be, there were times when it was actually before the musical act. Now it's after the musical act, but now there's even sometimes a sketch between the musical act and Weekend Update. So they may be aware of that.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris talking with James Andrew Miller, who is the co-author of Live from New York, the definitive book about Saturday Night Live, which has now been updated for the upcoming 40th season of the show. The book is 800 pages, so when I say comprehensive, he talked to pretty much everybody who's been involved in the show and got great insight from a lot of them. I mentioned,
but it's a quick read. It's a quick read.
Well, you know what? You broke it into the eras, so you have the early part, and, you know, now that you've gone back and you've done this, even the last 12 years, you've broken up into 2 6-year segments. So it really is fascinating to look at how the show has changed through the years. But one of the constants of the last 15 or 20 years, and I mentioned this at the beginning when we played the Don Pardo intro, is that cast list is so long. I don't know how many people are on there, but it's got to be 15 or 16 people on the show. How much of a problem is that inside the SNL culture to try to get airtime for all these people?
Right. So just to give you a quick historical context, you know, there have been times when the cast has been big. Then there have been times because of budget cuts at NBC where Lorne had to shrink the size of the show. I think it is a very healthy size now. And if you just do the math, right, so if you have like 14 or 15 people and you have only 90 minutes, Weekend Update takes 10 minutes. The musical act is on twice. You start to realize that there's not a lot of availability. And the only thing that's good for the cast members now is that since Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig left, you know, obviously Will Ferrell, Will Forte, there used to be larger-than-life cast members who you knew that they were going to get on. They were going to get on, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 times. And so now it's much more of a level playing field. I mean, there's some talented people there. Kate McKinnon is extraordinary.
Oh, she's great.
She's really, really growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's some other talented cast members. But there isn't that, you know, alpha male or that, you know, that big female personality and that uber talent like Kristen was. So there's at least a better chance of getting your stuff on.
One of the other complaints about Saturday Night Live is that they take a character that works and beat it to death. I know why you have to have recurring characters, or I think I know why you have to have recurring characters. And my answer in my head is, you have to come up with a live show 3 weeks out of every 4, and the pressure to come up with something new is tremendous, so you have that fallback of, well, you know what, let's just do the Target Lady again.
Right. And, you know, the funny thing is that one of my favorite characters in the history of Saturday Night Live was John Belushi's Samurai.
Yes.
And Lorne had not thought of repeating characters until Buck Henry was on hosting, and he said, oh, so do you want to do that samurai thing again? And Lorne was like, oh, yeah, I guess we can do it. But it's a tricky thing, right? Because if you come up with a character that people love, they're going to want to see it again. And then you have to somehow figure out in your mind, where is that point of, like, diminishing marginal returns?
Yeah.
You know, where's that point when it kind of goes too far? And I think that what we as an audience have said to the show is, it's okay as long as it remains funny. I mean, Stefan, who was started as a sketch but then moved to Weekend Update so he could have this great rapport with Seth, I mean, he was on a lot, but I have to say that he probably batted 1,000. I mean, even Stefan's weakest appearance on SNL was still hilarious. And so they were able to bring him back, you know, all the time. But the problem you run into is when you have, like, kind of like a character that works maybe once or twice, but then the material is never good enough to sustain it. And that's when you have people tuning out.
Yeah. I mentioned this large crew of people who are on the air, and there's also a huge writing crew as well. But considering that these people have to be the characters, particularly the ones that are recurring characters, should all of the cast members also be getting writing credits on this show? Are they creating as well as acting?
Well, a lot of them are. In fact, one of the legacies of Saturday Night Live is if you're a cast member and you come to the show and you don't write for yourself, you are climbing Everest on a cold day in your shorts. Because you basically, that means that you have to go beg writers to write for you, whereas, you know, the writers may be working with another cast member who's already started a first draft or started something else. So, you know, all of the cast members, the smart cast members and the successful cast members through the years have always been writers as well. And the ones who don't write, you know, wind up having a really rough time.
Who do you think were the worst hosts in the history of SNL?
Oh, well, that's easy. That's it. We have to start, and probably we can stop with Steven Seagal. He alienated the entire cast when he was there. I've talked to, well, it's maybe over 450 people, cast members, through the 40 years of the show. And it's amazing. People in other eras who weren't even there the week that Steven Seagal hosted. If I said to them, you know, who was your least favorite guest host? They said, well, Steven Seagal. And I was like, well, you weren't even there. Oh, I know, but I heard the story.
Was that the only time he just did it once?
He just came as like a neutron bomb and just, you know, took everybody out.
Well, what did he do? What made him so bad? I mean, you're talking about behind the scenes in addition to on the air. I want to know, what were those behind the scenes stories that made him so legendary for the cast?
Well, I think it, you know, kind of falls into a couple categories. One was he was not particularly pleasant. He was ornery and not particularly cooperative. He thought everything that everybody kind of was offering up and trying to contribute was, you know, crap.
Because he's an expert in comedy, Steven Seagal.
That.
Yeah.
And you know, P.S., he wasn't good on the show, so that's basically like bad food and small portions.
Who else would be on the list if you had to include others besides Seagal?
Well, believe it or not, he was a great cast member, but when Chevy Chase came back to host, that was also rough. He was very hard on the furniture, very tough on the cast, very tough on the writers, and I think there was, you know, look, he was so successful in the show that I think the audience had this idea in their minds that he was going to come back as guest host and, you know, be like, you know, fantastic, and he wasn't. So that wound up being kind of a, you know, particularly the first time he came back as a guest host, that wound up being a rough one.
The first time he came back more than once, even though he was not so pleasant?
Well, you know, you try and mix it up with eras.
Yeah.
You know, different eras and different people, and you try again. And obviously, Chevy and Lorne are very close. And, you know, Chevy's career looks like an EKG. I mean, right, he was a big star, then he transitioned, he was a big movie star, then he kind of fell out, then he had a TV show. I mean, he's kind of been, you know, up and down, so I think that they did bring him back during some of those up years.
Speaking of mixing it up, didn't he and Bill Murray get into a fight the first time he came back?
Oh, yeah, that was legendary. Yeah, that's in the book, and Bill Murray is, he's not only one of the greatest cast members of SNL, but he really is. He is one of our great cultural figures and one of my favorite interviews. But yeah, he and Chevy definitely, Billy was not going to take any crap, and they definitely had a little brawl there.
I remember from reading the original version of the book, and I'm now reading the updated portion, by the way. But the original version, you know, I breezed right through it. It was so interesting to read through the history of the show that I had kind of grown up with, like so many people of my generation. I was there from the beginning, and I've kept an eye on the show all those years. But in the early years, I remember you writing about how male-centric the show was, that the guys on the show were so much bigger stars immediately than the women, with the exception of Gilda Radner. That has really changed in the last 12 years, hasn't it?
Well, that was the other thing that was kind of interesting, because when Tina Fey became head writer, and then, as we were discussing before, Tina and Amy were sitting at the Weekend Update desk together, there was a shift. And I think that, you know, so many of the women before them thought that it was a boys' club. In fact, John Belushi was very honest about not wanting to do sketches that were written by a female. He didn't think they could be funny.
No.
So it was just one of those big shifts that Tina and Amy kind of engineered, and I think it's still around now.
And speaking of changes on the show and people refusing to do things, there was a controversy on the show a couple of years ago when Keenan and Jay and Finesse, the black cast members on the show, said, "We're not going to dress in drag anymore. If you want black women to play, if you want black female characters on the show, hire a black woman." And they did. They hired this woman, Sashir Zamata, I think earlier this year. How's that working out, and what's it doing to the dynamic inside 30 Rock?
Well, Sashir is a real talent, and she was, you know, it wasn't like they had to lower their standards when they got her on the show.
Right.
I think what was worth mentioning, though, was there was a funny step in between, which is when Kerry Washington from Scandal hosted the show, they did this opening sketch to kind of like thumb their nose at people who were complaining, where Kerry played like four different African-American characters.
Yeah.
She kept on running out of the room and stuff. But Sashir is she's very smart. She was with Upright Citizens Brigade, and she's a real talent.
The book is a comprehensive look at a real television landmark that is now entering its 40th season, or will 2 weeks from now. It's called Live from New York, the complete uncensored history of Saturday Night Live as told by its stars, writers, and guests, now revised and updated with people who have been part of the show in the dozen years since the first edition was written. Jim Miller, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great questions. Thank you so much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And we're going to see how the highways look right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Okay, Dan, they're working with an accident. It's on westbound 370 just near the St. Louis Mills. And traffic has the two right lanes blocked, and traffic is backed up to Highway 270. You're also slowing on the westbound, southbound ramp trying to get onto westbound 370. Eastbound 270 slowing now as you approach 370 through McDonald and Lindbergh, and then it opens up a good run to the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Southbound 170 stop and go from Ladue down through Highway 40. Westbound 40 slows from Kings Highway through McCausland. Now from Lindbergh all the way out through Mason, a little bit slow towards the Boone Bridge. Downtown eastbound 40 looks like it's just slowing about Busch Stadium to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 44, you're slowing, approaching the Museal Veterans Bridge through the depressed section. And this traffic report brought to you by Subway. Fuel your training routine with protein-packed footlongs at Subway, like the turkey breast or oven-roasted chicken, with all of your favorite veggies on your choice of freshly baked bread. Subway, train hard, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
To midfield, to the 40, being chased to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house!
The Mizzou Tigers are here on KTRS.
I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers. Join me and our Mizzou radio crew Saturday morning as the Tigers host Central Florida at Faro Field.
Pre-game begins at 9 a.m. Game time is at 11
on the Big 550 KTRS.
We are our Mizzou.
Cargal back again for Meyer Honda, the Metro East's only Honda dealer. Let's talk to Edith in Edwardsville.
Hey, Cargal.
Hey, Edith. I understand you're looking for a new Honda.
Yes, and Ben doesn't want to drive all over town.
Then you and Ben need to go to Meyer Honda.
Meyer Honda?
Meyer Honda. They have so many new cars on the lot right now that the selection is incredible and the deals are rock bottom.
Rock bottom?
Bare bones.
Bare bones?
Really good.
Gotcha. Come on, Ben. We're going to Meyer Honda.
What was that?
Ben is my sweet, lovable Bengal tiger.
Edith? Edith? Well, you meet the nicest people and pets in a Meyer Honda.
Meyer Honda has a model that's perfect for your needs and lifestyle, on the lot and ready to roll. Meyer Honda is also the only Honda dealer in St. Louis offering a free 100,000-mile limited nationwide warranty on any new vehicle purchased. Stop by today for a test drive. Meyer Honda, O'Fallon, Illinois. MeyerHonda.com.
Randy Naughton here to say that True Clean Carpet is truly one of the best. Why do I know this? Because I've used them in my house. You've had the typical carpet cleaning experience. They come out, clean the carpets, they look pretty good, but just in a few short weeks, they start looking dingy again. Plus, they take forever to dry. I'm here to tell you that True Clean Carpet has done away with these two problems. They come out with their own treated water, totally organic pre-spray, so you don't use detergents that leave sticky residue and attract even more dirt. They dry with True Clean Carpet in 1 to 2 hours. No more worry about mold or other issues of having your carpets wet for so long. True Clean Carpet gets them dry in just 1 to 2 hours because they invest in the newest extraction technology. So do what I do. Call True Clean Carpet at 314-427-9500, 314-427-9500, or see their website at truecleancarpet.com. Mention my name and get one Scotch Guard protection absolutely free. It's True Clean Carpet.
1985 called. They want their bathroom back. Sound familiar? Might be time for Right Bath. Right Bath's certified team of experts will use quality fixtures and finishes. No cover-ups. I repeat, no cover-ups. Right Bath will remove existing problems and fixtures and replace them with a new, timeless bathroom. For quality bathroom in just 5 days, visit rightbath.com or call Right Bath 314-909-1820. Right Bath. Fast, affordable, forever. Right Bath.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. And this Friday through Sunday, everyone's invited to our fall open house. No membership required. Hurry in to take advantage of savings on top brands like Samsung, Serta, Rubbermaid, and Kellogg's. Plus, get a free health screening valued at $150 this Saturday, September 13th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. only. Save big this weekend at our fall open house. No membership required. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
Subway is celebrating all September long. The Italian BMT is now a famous $5 foot long, and the chicken teriyaki is the $3.06 select. Subway, eat fresh.
If you want to make smart choices about your retirement, listen to Straight Talk on Retirement this Saturday at a special time, 8 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.